numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Everybody taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. Wyatt Tomchek just fielding all the Braves hate.
We got some love here during the break.
Jack Larkin from Sports Trade just off camera. He said he still loves your Braves.
I appreciate that.
You know? He's into it.
Look, I mean, you know, hey, I don't want to say – I don't want to wish bad upon anyone's bets, but usually when you bet against my team for, like, failure, I just, like, I hope you lose that bet but win nine other bets.
Yeah.
So I hope you win all your tennis bets today.
Oh, thank you very much.
That I double-entered into the website.
Braves are a bit longer shot than those tennis plays today, if you know what I mean. So – hope that. I'm sorry, too.
Hey, you know what? One of the best moments that I moved to being an AP for in the mornings for a numbers game was your NL East win on the Braves a couple years ago.
So that was pretty epic. That was pretty epic. What Wyatt is referring to was when the Mets, that was supposed to be the Mets year, and Parles was my producer. Jeff Parles, the Grover Cleveland of numbers game producers, because he was producer number 5 and 8. And he kept telling me every morning, he goes, I hope you lose your bet. He goes, I never say this, because he's a big Mets fan, right? But to me, it just made no sense that the Mets, that the Braves were such, you know, non-negligible plus money every single day. And I bet it was a dime every day, 17 times, right, on the Braves at plus money. And I know they had that big series against the Mets at the end of the year. Anyway, the Braves overcame the Mets. And that was just monstrous, and I will always love the Atlanta Braves because that was one of the bigger hits ever.
That was such a fun ride because it was the second-to-last series, the Braves and Mets faced off against each other, and the Braves swept them. They hit the ball so well. Pitching was great. It was like a playoff atmosphere. Both teams had over 100 wins, Gil. You know what happened? None of them made it to the NLCS.
This is the cruelty again of the baseball playoffs, which we talk about all the time, which is 162 games, and then it's either a best of three or best of five or consecutive, and so it's just the incongruence of all of it, right? Where it's like, wow, we did all that to because the way you do roster construction in baseball. It's just you manage a 162-game schedule, and some teams are better at that management, and then some teams, the way that it's built, can, in a short series, right, in a short spurt, you can manipulate your bullpen with your back-end starters, and so it becomes a completely different sport in a certain way. And so that's unlike, you know, yeah, basketball, your rotation shortens a little bit. But there's no real equivalent to that. In football, your team doesn't change. And in baseball, the actual structure kind of does change endemically. So it just becomes this, and this is why I say, right now at the beginning of August, the best bets you can make, to me, my opinion, and yes, we'll all have preseason bets, and we're all excited about the NFL, and we all can't wait for contests. But right now at this moment, baseball bets, which I will say this, I bet tennis every single day. But what have been my most successful bets through the last 3 years beyond tennis? Maybe even more successful have been baseball. And even these monthly bets have shined through how these little spurts of 30 days, 31 days, in the case of the All-Star break, obviously in July, fewer than that, can really manifest into a winning bet. And right now, with it as being as wide open as it is anyway in the standings, right, there isn't even. Usually when we go into that quote-unquote incongruence of a playoff versus the regular season, there are still some behemoth teams. The American League is completely wide open. Completely wide open.
Oh, yeah. I don't – if you ask me right now who's your favorite, I'm like, oosh. Because you talked about it, it's the Yankees had such a hot start, but they've really struggled as of lately, hopefully kind of getting it back to even. But the Orioles have not taken that opportunity that they've had to really blow away the AL East.
They kind of blew it.
Yeah, they should be up. How bad the Yankees were, you would say the Orioles should be up by 6-7 games in the division, right?
Oh, for sure they should have taken advantage of it. And by the way, I would suggest, you know, the Phillies are still built beautifully for the playoffs. But, you know, again, I made the talk about this yesterday. I made the Arizona Diamondbacks to play the Kansas City Royals in the World Series bet at 400-1. Now, there's going to be people who hear that and like, ah, oh, you're crazy. Really? Am I crazy? Well, by the way, watch it be the Yankees and the Dodgers come October. This will be the year where it actually does happen that way. But this is – it is a complete free-for-all. And once we get to October, if you can just get in – obviously, you got to get into the postseason tournament. But if you can just get in, oh, my God, it's like you're holding on these long-shot tickets. And by the way, the same – you know, the same outfit, the same sports book that gave me all kinds of trouble – making a bet on Karolina Mukova, where I had to bet it 14 times for her to win her quarter at the Olympics. Didn't give me a dime on that, but right, they gave me a nickel, right? So it's like, oh, you took a big quote unquote bet on this. Not really a big bet, but you know what I mean.
You mentioned that it's a very good possibility that both those teams can face off against each other. This is year three of the expanded playoffs. Three out of the four teams that have made the World Series have been wild card teams.
Yeah,
Rangers last year, Diamondbacks, Phillies, and then the Astros are just the lone exception. So it almost brings up to another question, Gil, and I've watched the Atlanta Braves lose back-to-back years in the NLDS. Same thing with the Dodgers. Is you kind of want to play in the wild card round, you know, so you keep up that the consistency of playing
against. Too small of a sample size to answer that with any sort of, you know, definitive, gravitas, because it's just like there's no way to really know. I mean, ideally you skip it, then you still play well, you're playing for your games, your pitching is set up, because those wild card teams, the big problem is that their pitching is not necessarily set up once they get into it. It's just worked out beautifully thus far. The point being, again, that every year our human brains, our flawed human brains, go right back to, like, last year. We did have Steve on Twitter was, you know, he did have the Rangers to beat the Diamondbacks, which he admits was complete luck, but he had them 175-1 to beat them in an exacta last year. But most human beings, 99.9% of human beings, if you told them, oh yeah, the Diamondbacks and the Rangers are going to be in the World Series, they would have laughed you out of the, you know, out of wherever you were, whatever room you told them that in. And then this year, the same thing. I'm just saying, would it shock you if any of these teams, would it shock you if the Guardians played the Brewers? It shouldn't. Would it shock you if the Rangers got back and played the Diamondbacks in a back-to-back? It shouldn't.
Or another team, it's how bad they were at the beginning of the year, the Astros. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they just ran through the entire AL again and get back to the World Series. After how bad they started this year, it looked like, oh, this is finally the year that the kind of quote-unquote dynasty is done for Houston, and they've battled back. I mean, they almost had a no-hitter yesterday.
Oh, down to the final out. Then a walk, and then Corey Seager goes yard. So close for Fromber. So here's the deal. And by the way, the Guardians are the team, by the way, that I would say are the one that is least set up roster construction-wise for the postseason, right? Their Achilles heel is their starting pitching. And that's, yes, it's bullpen heavy. That should be your strength in the postseason. But you do still, like, the old school need of having a good frontline rotation is still tried and true, and they just don't have that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. I was mentioning this about NFL preseason week one, which I did want to get into here before Fezzik shows up, which is, I mentioned again, the games that have really low totals on the board. Panthers-Patriots, which was the first week one NFL preseason game out the box. Lions-Giants, Eagles-Ravens, Commanders-Jets, Seahawks-Chargers, and Cowboys-Rams. That's a six-pack of games, all of which have totals of 35 or 34.5 or 34. The three-team 10-point teaser, which we never recommend under, you know, in a normal week of the NFL season, you knock those totals down. I asked Jason Weingarten off air, by the way. I was like, hey, I was like, is this a three-team 10-point teaser week for you? He goes, absolutely, of course. It's sort of the annual tradition, and these will get home. Maybe you want to round robin them. All it takes is for one to torpedo it. But if you can get above, again, if any of these games go under those numbers, you just have to sort of tip the cap. The other thing is, based on sides, are there any sides that I'm looking to bet in week one in the NFL preseason? I am not a huge preseason bettor. I know there are a lot who love it. It really is an information gathering handicap. What are coaches saying? What are they planning in terms of having their first unit out there, specifically their first quarterbacks out there? And really, it comes down a lot to quarterback depth charts as well. Now, Humans, who we talked about with fast food earlier, he does more than fast food. I should hope you know that. He did a great piece on quarterback depth charts at VSiN.com as well. And I agree with one thing he said. I actually didn't see this. I was going through the charts, and I was like, one team really stood out. And then I went to his top, and he actually said this, which is the Cleveland Browns quarterback depth chart. So Deshaun Watson, who knows if he plays at all in the preseason at all. But Jameis Winston, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, say what you will about him as a viable starting quarterback. I know he had to start some games last year in the NFL. But Jameis Winston, DTR, and Tyler Huntley are your 2, 3, and 4 in whatever order they end up in the Cleveland Browns quarterback rotation. or the quarterback depth chart, I should say. Green Bay, who they are playing this week. Jordan Love, if we see him, it's probably for 10 snaps-ish.
Matt LaFleur said that Jordan Love will play, but like, yeah, it's probably going to be for a drive.
Drive, probably no more than that. Their depth chart is Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, Jacob Eason. Cleveland is favored by 3.
And I will say,
I will play the Browns there.
And
I will say
Sean Clifford was getting a lot of the one snaps with Jordan Love's hold in, and a lot of the stuff that I read was throwing a lot of picks. I think he's kind of a little bit wild with the ball, just trying to find his rhythm. So, I would agree that the Browns, Browns quarterback room, Gil, you've got 4 guys who have started NFL games and have started for a decent amount of time.
Pet peeve. You just call it the quarterback room. Have you noticed how everybody now calls it the quarterback room and the running back room and the wide receiver room? Rooms inside of buildings. Wishnev was going off on this. Why is everybody now saying it's a room inside the building, in this room? So it's the worst sort of groupthink thing ever happening.
I used to work for UNLV football, so yeah. When they built the football building, each position has their own little room.
Back room.
It's like one day. Even says on the little thing.
One day, one broadcaster said, "Oh, he's great in space," and then the entire broadcasting community said it afterwards. The other thing is, we talk about how John Harbaugh has had this great success. Remember, they won all those games in a row till they lost to Washington in the preseason last year, and everybody's like, "John Harbaugh is a preseason juggernaut." You know who else is? Mike Tomlin. He is a preseason juggernaut with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think 18-2-1. I will check on this. I'll give it to you after the break. The exact numbers on Mike Tomlin during the preseason. It's pretty startling as well. Steve Fezzik, the quickest way to be a successful bettor, next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live at Bar Canada at the D, Bar Canada. The Barrage, Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. I got a text here from a Steve Fezzik, who said on his text, he said, fast food hack you must do, always customize your order so they make it fresh. Always order your Big Mac without pickles, fries with no salt. Some examples. If only he were here live in the flesh to talk about this. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. The great Steve Fezzik. How you doing, sir?
Well, Matt Eumanns is the foremost expert on fast food. But you put out 50 picks, you're going to get a couple of them wrong, inevitably. So I'm here to clean it up a little bit.
What are your you said off air that you wanted to mention the two that you dislike the most?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about winning today. Bad News Bears, the Yankee coach. I'm going to talk about losing, all right? And these are the two biggest losing fast food places. Fatburger, the last great American hamburger stand. No, not at all. Look at the price point. It's no different than any other of the burgers. I was in Tahoe, $7.99 for fries, $14.99 for a basic 1/3-pound hamburger. Who pays that? Fatburger belongs at the bottom of the list just from a pricing perspective.
2 a.m. got a fat burger. I think you're supposed to get it at 2 a.m. I think that's the point of it.
Not in Tahoe. They close at 10.
What's the other one?
Starbucks.
But that's its own little category, right?
The problem with Starbucks is it's supposed to be like a niche, like really upscale, and they microwave their breakfast sandwiches.
Terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
3 times worse than an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's for 3 times the price. What Dumbo eats food at Starbucks? If you like the coffee, get the coffee. Stop with the food. All of it. I've had it all because I got a $10 free food comp.
Where?
It's all awful.
Matt Eumanns' top 50 fast food rankings at vsin.com. I agree with you, but you agree with me that the McDonald's breakfast thing sort of hovers above all of this?
If it was just a breakfast-only survey, yeah. Portillo's, as good as it is, just disappears. McDonald's is good food.
It's just good food. All right, that's what you dislike. What's your favorite of all of it?
I'll go with Portillo's.
And, you will.
I'll In-N-Out Burger for value, just because, and the service, because they pay their employees $2 more per hour. You are getting great service at In-N-Out Burger, whereas you go to Popeye's Chicken, and you'll be convinced to short America that we are just doomed trying to get food at Popeyes as good as their chicken sandwiches.
In-N-Out, I'm gonna say this as a California guy. In-N-Out is kind of overrated. And it is. I'm telling you why. Because In-N-Out has this thing where it's like there's a secret menu. And so it's kind of like cool to order from the secret menu. So it got a lot of cachet from that. The fries are subpar. And then if you're in the Bay Area, there was another like late night competing burger spot in Oakland, Nations, which is actually better burgers than In-N-Out for those in the Yay.
The fries are subpar. I agree with you. Even though they're fresh, they must just not be bad for you because they don't taste good enough.
But the big thing is the burger. Burgers is phenomenal. And also an underrated thing is the milkshake. I enjoy their milkshakes.
A little milkshake add-on.
Okay.
All right. So that's you wanted to start with the ones you dislike the most. The hack before we move on, because I want to get to what I've been teasing is the quickest way to become a winning sports bettor. Let's start there. Let's move on from that. Let's start there with that, which is because we were talking about, okay, you've made appearances. Obviously, you're on with Patrick on Sharp Money all the time, Patrick and Dustin. And we've talked about so many different things on this show when you've come on. And one of the things that I don't know if you just kind of get sick of it. I can almost sense the frustration where it's like there is a very direct line to becoming a successful sports bettor. And sometimes it's not as complicated as people think.
Spot on. All you got to do is be good at one thing. All right. Now, poker players understand this. So they go ahead and instead of just playing no limit poker, they expand out and maybe they'll play open face Chinese or something a little more obscure. And they just get great at that game. So I would emphasize if you're struggling to win, heck, pick out something like a runs, hits, errors prop on baseball. And you are going to be as good at that runs, hits, errors prop as anybody. You're going to know everything about all the teams and which teams don't get a lot of hits, but they get runs like the Dodgers, etc. And you're going to win if you just specialize in one item. Now, I like betting preseason baseball for the season wins and for some of the prop bets. It was just, Gilly, it was just 15 months ago. We were at the Raider Cafe.
Yes, we were.
And
with Wishnev.
Dialing it back, and they had a prop there. Will a team lose 100 games? Now, historically, there have been years where nobody has lost 100 games, but the game has changed, and that's reflected in the season wins. Several teams are favored now to not win 100 games. So 15 months ago, I said, Todd, put the pretzel bites down. You got to keep betting this. You know, yes, there will be a team that is going to lose 100 games. And I think there was three teams that year. One team lost like 108. One team lost 105. Literally by the end of April, it was a guaranteed winner.
White Sox might lose it by the end of the month.
And the White Sox this year,
the
same sort of thing. Longest losing streak, one book put up a 10.5. Which team, not which team, but what will the longest losing streak for any team be? 10.5. The over was like a 90% bet. You know, it was just so strong.
You brought up something with this. So obviously their NFL season win totals pre-flop to bet into. You brought up something off air with me or via text that I have been saying about the MLB, the Major League Baseball season win total pool. When I used to write the manifestos at VSiN.com about MLB season win totals, please explain.
Yeah, so the average for a season win number should be the number of games you played divided by two. But in football, it actually should be a little less than that because overtimes only last 10 minutes. You're going to have ties, one or two of them per year. So instead of 8.5, the average should come out to be 8.4. But it's not 8.4 because of irrational exuberance. Everybody's like, oh, the Rams are a sleeper team. Oh, yeah, you know, Houston, Detroit, watch out for those teams. And so they all these teams wind up a little bit higher than they should be. Like even the Carolina Panthers are getting steamed through the roof versus their opener. So the current average is 8.58. I just punched it in. This is on Westgate's numbers. I know you love your Westgate.
Love.
Yes. The number should be 8.4. Sounds trivial. 0.18 difference. Who cares? What turns out, that's like a 0.2 difference, which this is virtually what it is. It's like the difference between being the house versus being the player. So if
yes.
you bet every, without even shopping, you just went to Westgate and played every single team under, just versus their numbers, you're a slight favorite to actually win.
So think about that. That's just turning your brain off. But it would, again, so let's do the MLB equivalent. So when I used to do the whole season win totals thing, if you take, you know, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. There's 162 games per team. That's a grand total of, quick math, 2,430 total Major League Baseball games. Did I get that right?
I assume so.
2,430 Major League Baseball games. When you add up the pre-flop season win totals, regardless of book, it would be anywhere between 24-45 to 24-65. And you think to yourself, first of all, the first thought ought to be, and the way I used to phrase it was, your instinct, therefore, ought not to be to have a spate of overs. That's how I would say it. So if your instinct ought to always be the other direction, because it's already shaded, and you said it at the beginning, which is the human brain is wired for optimism, right?
Absolutely.
Even in game totals, right? The average bettor will be like, over. Oh, this good's going to go over the total. And so the instinct ought to be counter to that because it's already built in.
Not to mention the homers. I mean, how many people bet the Chicago Cubs for like the last 50 years? The Cubs are going to win the pennant, right? And they're going to go over, you know, they're so loyal, the fans, you know, in Wrigleyville. But and this is without shopping. And there are disparities, like, you know, this year, Tampa Bay, I saw a season win 81 and another shop at 83. Same time, exactly the same moment. So no market timing at all. So boom, I'm like, well, I'm going to play the middle. I'm going to go over 81 and under 83, but I'm going to get me some more under 83 because I know the unders probably have more value. So I max bet the under 83 and I do a half a bet on the over 81.
I promised the Mike Tomlin trend here in the preseason. Pittsburgh has won its last six preseason games straight up at ATS. This is courtesy of Steve Mackinnon, by the way, at VSiN.com. Steve Mackinnon does such a great job. And we are not a trends show, but I kind of like trends in a preseason because there's reason for them. Pittsburgh has won its last six preseason games straight up in ATS and is 18-4 straight up and 16-6 against the spread dating to 2017. Steve Fezzik, would you agree that when it comes to NFL preseason and head coaches, that there may actually be something to those?
Oh, absolutely. So, obviously, guys like Harbaugh really want to win. Now there's two of them, so we'll see if the other guy...
By the way, Jim Harbaugh, as I went back and looked, it's funny you mentioned that, his 4 years in San Francisco, 2-2, 3-1, 3-1, 2-2. Straight up in preseason. And, by the way, the wins were blowouts usually.
And, of course, famously, McVay doesn't care, you know, when he plays. So what's interesting is that Pittsburgh was a two-point favorite against Houston, and then Houston's going to play starters. That I don't know if that means three plays. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
And now the line's down to pick them. I will predict that that's the low point on the Men of Steel, and if you want to get in, I would invest in Pittsburgh at pick right now.
I want to dive more into that because I'm curious how deep you get into preseason betting. And if it is, and I think you're intimating that it is, a completely different discipline for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe you do some of the same things in the regular season. The only back-to-back winner of the then Hilton Super Contest, which of course became the Westgate Super Contest thereafter, it's Steve Fezzik on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Lovely, majestic, beautiful downtown Las Vegas. It's A Numbers Game. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Topchek for Kelly Bidlin, and Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang out with us. I have worn the bad second button-down shirt in honor of Mrs. Fezzik, who hates that it sort of butterflies on me. She does not like that.
She's like, that Gilly's like showing some skin there.
Well, it's just where the laptop, because if I'm up here, no one cares. Right?
What's bad about the second button? Or is it just
it's just
too
in
low?
A spot on this shirt where it looks like it. And then when the laptop cuts it off, you have no idea where it goes. It could go down to my belly button for all you know.
It looks like Carrie Casanova over there, you know?
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Brian M. Talking about the conversation we had with Will Hill earlier about the games that start and then get delayed just a couple innings in. He says, my understanding, Brian M. does, from having worked at Fenway, is the team has full autonomy to start the game. Once the game starts, it lies with the umps. I think that is correct. Not sure, I'm sure he knows, having worked at Fenway, not sure if this has changed post-COVID. Also heard there are heavy fines if the game is canceled first three innings. Oh, interesting. Heavy fines. The numbers, guys. Hi, Gil. Obviously, Humans isn't a teenage boy, but if he were, I can assure you, number one would be Raising Cane's. The kids are going nuts for it. I don't get it. I agree with Matt, who says the tenders are average and the fries fizzle. I'm not about the fries, but the tenders are pretty darn good.
I agree with that. Good sauce, too.
Yeah. Mike Stacks, with how sharp Rufus is, does he have any thoughts about the DK 3% charge? Listen, I'd love to know Rufus's thoughts, but Rufus didn't show up this morning.
I can handle this, Sir Tax, if you'd like.
Someone check on Rufus. Health check on Rufus. Wellness check.
Wellness check.
Okay. A couple more. We'll get to you on that. John Blum, you, Fezzik, Drew, Crack, all together will be the top handicapper room in the game. I have that higher power ranked than the Browns quarterback room or the Dolphins wide receiver room. Primetime, really looking forward to seeing Rufus join you in the legendary handicapper room this AM. Does the room thing bother you as much as it bothers me? Quarterback room, everybody saying that now?
I kind of like it.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
I invented it.
No, did you?
Just kidding. You can tell the story.
So Fezzik claims to have invented, you know, it's the Austin Powers thing, where his father claims to have invented the question mark. What do you say that it originated with you?
Pre-flop betting.
Stop it.
I have referred to pre-flop betting and back up the truck. If you got a big bet, you back up the truck. And I've been doing that for 30 years.
How long have you been saying pre-flop?
Oh, 20 years.
Pre-flop? Wow.
I'm going to have to find documentation for it.
Please, though. I want to see full documentation.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about that 3% DraftKings tax? You have anything good to say about it?
No. There's a, you know, all my references are like from the 80s. So there's a movie, The Running Man, with Schwarzenegger, all right? And the game show host is the villain. And he comes out, and his name's Killian. And then they go, Killian is lying to you. And so when they say it's a nominal fee, it's 3.2%. No, it's not a 3.2% increase. It's a 3.2 fee on not just the Vigorish, but on what you're wagering. So what it translates to being, we have laid -110, an extra $10 in Vig on a $100 bet for 50 years. Since the gambling tax in 1976 or whatever it was dropped from 10% to 2%, the federal tax, it has been -110, $10. And now DraftKings wants to charge $13.60 instead of $10. That is a 36% increase overnight that they want to implement. There's no way any better is going to be good with this, and there's no way other operators are going to match it. It is going to be a failure. Wait, don't waste all your money. You're just going to have to change it back. It's not going to fly.
I hope you're right. I'm not so sure you're right, because as I said yesterday, I wonder if it's just the tip of the iceberg. I wonder if everybody jumps on board.
Everyone won't jump on board because there'll be
not
more
everyone,
than,
but yeah, some others.
Operators outside of the U.S. will make a enormous comeback where all of a sudden, you know what?
That's the biggest point of everything. When you say operators, you're not referring to European. I'm referring to illegal, you know, the local bookie, offshore, whatever, which, by the way, still exists for those who don't know. But I'm just saying the very thing that you claimed to have set out to eradicate is the very thing you prop up. Period. That's the whole story with it.
And we're talking fast food, right? And Portillo's is different from McDonald's. It's different from Starbucks. It's different from Fatburger. They all have their own burger, all right? This is like, it's exactly the same thing. I'm betting Minnesota +4.5 against Las Vegas, and it's the same product. So when it's an identical product, consumers are going to go where it's cheaper when they go ahead and just have to click on a button.
I asked Captain Jack this yesterday. Would you ever have a reason to bet there anymore? Like, could you ever? I said, my example is, if they had a futures price at DraftKings that was so much better on something you liked than in another place, maybe then. But even then, Steve, I'd feel dirty about it.
Now, I'd be the opposite. I'd be like, famously, Kenny Houston, famous blackjack player, he got barred at the Westford Ho. They had a $200 limit, and they kicked his butt out. And he was so angry at their business practices that he literally said in his book, Million Dollar Blackjack, it is time, this is the Westward Ho, it's time to pound the Ho. He's like, go in there.
Wait a minute.
Get the coupon books. Save it for the $200 max bets that you don't lose on 22. You double on 11, you catch the ace, use it then, it's worth $400. We're going to annihilate these guys because I'm so angry with their business practices. It won't surprise me if there aren't some people that are upset enough to like make it their life's mission to like send in the advantage players to get these guys because they're just obviously just taking advantage of the consumer.
Apologize for the stream of consciousness, but when we have Fez here, this is probably the way to go thing. So you just brought a blackjack. You were talking poker off air. Some poker hack you wanted to share?
Yeah, nobody does this. I don't know why. So a lot of times when you come in, you can't come in until you're in the big blind, all right? And you're at a disadvantage in the big blind. So if you're playing a 1-3 no-limit game, you can buy in for anywhere from 100 to 300. And all the good players and all the decent players buy in for 300 typically. It's a mistake, actually, because when you're playing in the blinds, you got to play the big blind, the small blind. You don't want a big stack. because you're out of position. You want a small stack then. So what you should do, just buy in for 100 when you're in the big blind. I know this is a little thing, but for the rest of your life, it is going to add up. Play the $100 stack for two hands. You got a pair of jacks, someone raises, re-raise, some callers. You just shove. It's easy. It's an easy decision versus it being really hard to play that hand with a big stack. And then when you get the button and you get to act last and you get position, then go ahead and go up to $300. I do it every time. I've never seen anybody else ever do that hack, but it makes complete mathematical sense.
As humans is to fast food, you are to these kinds of things.
Yes.
Period. I think that's on the LSAT, by the way, those kind of problems.
I'm a good standardized test taker.
I'm sure you are. By the way, your son is even better than you?
5 on his AP calculus exam. He's 13 years old.
Bro.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's get to
13 in AP calculus?
Yes.
The kid has a big brain.
Wow, I was happy just only have to do one semester of math in college. I was like, thank goodness,
Could you imagine if Fezzik had a dumb kid? That would be the most ridiculous. First of all, I would love to watch Fezzik deal with that.
What's funny, and then Wishnev, I still beat my son at tennis sometimes, and he's like, that's because Johnny has no idea what he's doing. He's just a dumb kid. He has a stupid strategy, and he doesn't know what to do, how to take advantage of it.
A dumb kid he is not. All right, so back to the football thing then. So you are, again, and this is more macro than it is about specific games, but so your entire preseason strategy then can be reduced to what?
Looking for numbers that are just wrong. That I look for books to put up product nobody else is putting up. So let me give an example. So the MGM did this, all right? So they had a matchup, Notre Dame against Michigan. Who is going to win more games, all right? And people are very down on Michigan. So people like bet Michigan under 9.5, and they're even playing them a little bit under 9. Now, unfortunately, Notre Dame has their own problems, but their season wins at 10. So I've got a Notre Dame team. If you look at their schedule, they already got 8 wins automatic, 8 to 9 wins. Michigan has like one less win. Every one of their games is like, for these teams, is like 8 wins. And now Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State, and they're probably going to lose to Oregon. They're probably going to win 9 games, and Notre Dame's probably going to win 10. So like Notre Dame may only be a 1-game favorite against Michigan, but their schedules are so obvious and set in stone. It's going to take an act of God for Michigan to win more than Notre Dame. So and Notre Dame was like -150. So it was just a tremendous bet that you could make versus the opener. I think it was cheaper than -150.
And this requires no genius is the point. You're just doing the work. You're just looking.
It's a great point. So anyone, if I said, I need you to make a bet, yeah, Notre Dame against Michigan and set a line. Okay, now I know the Hall of Fame bookmakers came up with a different line, but I can tell you any sharp bettor that is analyzing everything is going to come to the same conclusion. It's just a matter of doing the work.
Leave my mishpucha alone, okay? But when it gets to and when it gets to NFL preseason, do you do then the similar thing? Just
no.
In terms of game lines, what are you doing?
No, because it's complicated. It's so much information driven. So you have a situation where Vegas is going to play, you know, both their quarterbacks and so because of that, they have to evaluate, you know, O'Connell versus, you know, Minshew. And
so is that something that interests you to get involved in because it actually requires a different sort of skill set?
Exactly. And I'm not good at that skill set. So because of that, and you have to be like trolling all the Twitter, you know, the beat writers and the like. So
You're a good Twitter troll.
I'm an aggregator. I am an aggregator. So
that was your greatest strength.
I'm a top down guy. So yeah. I use other people and their information, and then I make their play. I spend too much time on Twitter.
Yes.
I know.
But it is interesting because that's just not something that your brain is that interested in doing.
Exactly.
You can't do everything.
Exactly.
I totally respect that. I get it. Whereas others swear by it. Like, hey, I'll spend my whole day on Twitter finding out what the how many, you know, snaps the starter will take in a quarterback in a week 1 preseason game, for instance. More with Steve Fezzik on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Need a contest proxy? Talk to the experienced team at Winter Circle Proxy, VSIN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winter Circle Proxy is now in its 9th year providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's ultimate contest weekend from August 22nd to 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro Stadium Swim Passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchak, in for Kelly Bidlin, and Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back Hilton Super Contest winner there has ever been. Did you use a proxy back then?
No, back then you just I don't think there were proxies. You had to go in person, baby. You make your bets in person.
What years did you win those? And where there were no proxies?
2007, 2008. I won the 2009. Won the South Point twice and won the Westgate twice.
You won the South Point twice and the Westgate twice.
Yeah,
2008, 2009.
In 2009, angle shoot. I tied for first with both my entries in the South Point, so I counted as a double win.
Oh, this guy. Wait, when did Tony Salinas win his super contest?
I love Tony Salinas with the cowboy hat and the like.
Yeah.
Is
he still with us?
I don't know. I do not know.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while, but he would wear, wear, like in the rodeo, he'd fit right in. Yeah, it's perfect.
What year did he win? Before you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did he win back-to-back? No, you're the only back-to-back.
Only one.
Do you wear that with pride?
Not only do I wear it with pride, I got my Circa Survivor jacket now. So I can style like once a year. You know, because I had a piece, you know, Greg Jones, you know, about that. I wound up with 1/6 of him.
Yeah.
You know, so they come up, a guy comes up to me, he's like, do you want a Survivor jacket? I'm like, heck yeah, beautiful. And I'm feeling so good about it. And he's like, and here's what, I need your credit card. You got to pay. You don't get it. I'm like, okay, I'll pay.
How many millions, you do Circa Millions as well.
Yeah.
How many millions entries will you have? How many Survivor entries will you have?
I'll certainly have the max of the millions, 5. So the Survivor depends on whether the Chiefs win Thursday night. Now, that sounds crazy.
I like what you're doing here.
So what's going to happen is some people are going to enter Thursday, and they're not going to play Baltimore because Baltimore's a 2.8-point dog. They're going to play Kansas City, or they're not going to use Kansas City. So if Kansas City wins, now I actually have a negative rake. I have a rake against me because some people are going to start 1-0, and I'm only 0-0. I don't really want to play. I know that sounds trivial, but that's significant. But if Baltimore beats Kansas City, now all those people who played Kansas City, a lot of them.
Dunzo.
They're dunzo. Their money's already in the pool, and they can re-up, but that's still extra money into the pool, which makes it like a free-for-all to make another. Well, I sign up for 10 survivors. I'll get my wife to sign up for 10.
So what I'm hearing is you will play 0 survivors if Kansas City wins the opening Thursday night.
I should play 0, but I'll play a couple just because
it's so fun. Like, the question was, are you that much of a robot that you would actually play 0 versus 10 based on the outcome of that game? No, you'll still play 2.
The thing is, I can just, as an investor, I can get involved down the road, you know, and get a good deal on people, you know, in October. So I can always get involved later.
The average player who is coming in who is a mere mortal, who is not Steve Fezzik, and ask the question, what is the optimal number of Survivor entries I should play? I suppose you've already answered that with your strategy, that's how they should play it. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, but let's assume that didn't exist.
Okay.
And everyone had to enter by Thursday.
Yes.
I would say the first entry.
What's the max number of entries in Survivor?
10, I believe. So the first entry is worth the most. However, I would argue that clearly the second entry still has positive expectations. There's going to be some people that sleep in. Heck, I'm still looking for Rufus. I'm still looking for Todd. I don't see them. So the point is at each entry has slightly diminishing utility. Slight. Okay, because you can't just play the same path for every single team. Yep. So because of that, everyone's different. Maybe it's 3 that's optimal. Maybe it's 7. It all depends.
This has always been my point that I do believe, right, it's a tough thing because some people's heads explode. And I know it's not in Derek's best interest for me to say this, but I do think that the notion of, you got to play all 10 or you got to play 7, like, I don't know. You're only playing 1 ultimately optimally. I get your point, though, but that's the better way to say it. It diminishes as you add entries.
A great example, and you know, I play advantage parlay cards. So if you say I can play 1 7 teamer, I'm playing my 7 best teams. Now I'm going to play, if I play 27 teamers, I'm not going to just play the same, you know, 7 teams. I got to diversify. I'll play some of the same picks, but you know, I'll go ahead and diversify. I did want to mention.
I didn't hear a number though in the end before you move on. Is there a number? Is there a static number for you?
4.5.
4.5, ladies and gentlemen. Go with full money for 4 and then go to the counter with half the money and see what happens.
I want to give a big thank you to Todd. I pick on Todd all the time. But
Todd Wishnev, everybody.
It's been 2 years since we had this weight challenge, and I was right around like 230, and this morning is 2:04. So Todd has made me such a healthier person.
Yeah.
Just, you know, doing that contest that we battled all summer. We both got down to 193.5. So thank you, Todd. That really, you know, it changed my life.
Oh, that was very sweet of you.
Yeah.
We miss Todd. Todd Wishnev, who is on the Megapod, by the way. So the Megapod will start. The schedule for the Beating the Book podcast, once again, is that the Megapod starts before week one. Each and every Thursday morning, we put it out. Me, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and a rotating group of the best guests, including yourself, sir, in all of sports betting. And then Guessing Lines begins before week two.
But everyone just can't wait that long. What's this? I'm looking at the Bet Bash schedule, and it's Gilly Alexander. Friday, you're hosting a session, right?
Super, super honored. I've moderated there before, but this one has Billy Walters on it, so it's extra special. Jack Larkin is from Sports Trade. Alex Kane, who's the CEO of Sports Trade, will be on that as well. Plus, we have former legislator in the state of West Virginia and a regulator, I want to say, in Pennsylvania, but don't hold me to that. But anyway, it's going to be about, I'm sure the DraftKings thing will come up, but it's basically Billy's, you know, I'm going to start with Billy because that's who people want to see. Be like, where's the voice for the better in all of this? So here's my thing, though. If you know, folks who are listening to this are most likely not at Bet Bash. Would you recommend that they come to it next year?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the key to Bet Bash is there's great social programs. There's, you know, open bars every night. There's golf. There's poker. And it's like going to Disney. Don't try to ride the rides, you know, from sun up to sundown. You're just going to get burned out. So what you want to do is just recognize, hey, I'm going to pace myself. Maybe I'll pass on a scavenger hunt. I love golf. I want to play golf, but maybe I'll go ahead and pass on the poker tournament. If you try to do everything, you're just going to be so worn out after 2 days, especially at 60. I mean, I just can't do it anymore.
60 years old, Steve Fezzik. Is that why you can't play tennis every day with me? Is that the problem? 60?
I'm on the DL 2/3 of the time. You know, my son gets my first kick at me each week, and then, you know, playing twice a week is hard. Yeah.
Before we go, I understand. I'm sympathetic. Before we go, Circa Millions obviously has been your, you know, these handicapping contests where you're picking five games a week has been your bread and butter, whether it was back at the Hilton or whether it's currently at Circa. Can you give for folks in the final 2 minutes your, without giving anything too far away, because I love how you start with, I want perfect information, so I'm waiting till the very end. That's always the first thing you say.
Exact. Deadline's 3 p.m. You want to put in your, you don't have to put in your picks at 2:58. Famously, Las Vegas Chris almost didn't get his picks in because of that.
And he was in it, right? Like late.
Yeah. But an hour before is a good, you know, compromise.
Are you setting alarms?
I'm on top of it.
Okay.
I'm betting all day, you know, college football. But there have been times where I look up, it's like, oh, it's 2:10, you know. Okay, all right, I'm popping them in now. And getting your picks in, number one, but get them in late. Those would be my top two picks. And my number three strategy advice until like week 13, I would never take a number worse than what you could bet on the board. So think about this.
Until week 13.
Yeah, then you could start being a little contrarian if you're out of it. But like
then what, you start scoreboard watching a little bit?
Yeah, but okay. If you like, for instance, let's say you like the Chargers against the Raiders and Herbert's going to play and his plantar fasciitis has cleared up, all right? But they make the Chargers -3.5 in the contest, but that South Point still has the Chargers -3. I would not play the Chargers -3.5 because you're making, when you put it on your card, it's like an implied bet on the Chargers. Just go and bet the Chargers at the window -3 instead of betting them -3.5 by playing them in a contest.
So what percentage then, you have five picks a week, so it's an easy percentage to calculate, of your picks actually has to do with any kind of handicap that's beyond what you just described?
Half.
Half and half.
Half and half.
Half is just, bang, I'm doing those because I'm getting the best of it, and half is because I think something.
And when I play poker, I say, I'm not good enough to fold pocket kings. I don't care what's happened. I could be convinced a guy has aces. I'm still not folding my kings because I'm not going to be right enough of the time. I'm not good enough not to play a team +8 when the line's 6.
Lastly,
currently.
Using this strategy, have you ever just been way out of it ever?
Yes. There's been years where the line moves haven't done well, and I can't win when that occurs.
But you're okay with that because that's it works a whole heck of a lot of time other times to justify.
Absolutely. I finished 21st. I faded late, but I still got 21st out of 5,000.
You were definitely
late. I'll take
it. Yeah, 21st. For a guy who's won it twice, 21st, he's like, 21st. Thousands of people in this thing. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it as always.
My pleasure.
Steve Fezzik, everybody. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.